traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
From all over the United States, the world, and anywhere there's a horse, that's where we're going to be, of course. Got a great thing going on here this week. Yesterday was the official start of Derby Week, and so we're all excited about that. It's going to really get interesting here over the next few days and till next Saturday, a week from Saturday, when they have the Kentucky Derby will run. A lot of good things are happening, you know, with us here at IEN. We're taking a step further every week, more and more and more. So we're kind of excited. It's a good time of year. We got 3-day Rolex coming up in Lexington this week. We've got so many different events that are going on that we're going to talk to you about over the next hour here. One of the things is going to be the format of the International Equine Network. On our website, we're starting this out, and hopefully we'll be able to do this through radio and television as the days come along. I know we've been talking a lot about it, but we finally have some things in place that can make it go. I finally got in a position where I can financially carry this this whole project myself, so this is going to be good. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a weekly schedule, and we're going to start out with it on our website, and it'll go to YouTube, and of course we'll always be on BBS here when we can work some schedules out, you know, with them. But what we're going to do is on Mondays, we're going to have Chuck Wagon and Chucker. Chuck Wagon is an equestrian program that we'll have for how to feed your hungry equestrian crew out on the road. It's going to be, we'll feature breakfasts and lunches and dinners and social gatherings and the whole nine yards on Chuck Wagon. And it's going to be via our RV partnership that we're getting ready to put together with a company called Camping World. And so that'll be Chuck Wagon. And then Chucker will be something that will highlight the past weekend's polo matches around the world. It's an international program, and we'll have information, and we'll have programming on Chucker that will be just unbelievable. Some of the programs and companies that are putting together polo events all over the United States and international are, it's great programming. It takes you behind the scenes, and it shows you the actual matches that'll be there. And on Chucker, we'll have also a schedule of live polo matches all during the week. Polo's pretty much not like anything else in the horse business. They do play matches during the week and on the weekends. So that's why, you know, we want to get to Chucker, and that way you can watch some live polo matches during the week and actually find out where you can go to watch a polo match. So that'll be on Mondays. It'll be Chuck Wagon and Chucker on Mondays. On Tuesdays, we're going to have Quarter Time, and Quarter Time is about the AQHA and the industry, where they're riding and what they're doing. That'll be both domestic and international that we'll have, you know, on Quarter Time. It's just amazing some of the programs and projects that they have here on Quarter Time. And it takes you from the very small backyard shows all the way up to the world championships. And that's really going to be interesting to see. And one of the things that we have here at Delray Beach at Sunshine Meadows is Brandon Mills and his wife. Brandon Mills is he retired from the rodeo business. Done just about everything that you could in the business. His mom and dad are AQHA Hall of Famers, and now it seems like that his wife is on the road. She'll be going to the World Championships here coming up. I believe it's in June. We're going to find out more about that, and on Tuesday we'll have more information about what she'll be showing and all like that. And then Brandon's just a multi-talented horse person. He's a great person. He's got a lot of things on his plate, And recently, we just saw some of his skills as a leather person. He builds saddles, chaps. He does everything that you can imagine in the leather business, and it's top quality. It's just unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it before. And maybe we can get him on and show you some of the things that he's done. And that's Brandon Mills, our multi-talented equestrian that we have working with us here. So we'll do that. But it's quarter time and last, and then on the other program on Tuesday will be Last Call. Last Call is a program that we travel the world, bringing you live equestrian sales of all breeds. We've come to you from Australia, Europe. In fact, today we have sales that are coming out of Europe that are live. And we have, of course, here in the United States. And you can kind of see where these horses are being sold at and how much they're being bought for and sold for. And it's just phenomenal, some of the things that they do. Some of these horses, you know, have gone for millions of dollars. And it's just amazing to see this and go behind the scenes and see how they do it, the sales, why they're bought and how they're bought. It's just a great show to watch, and you don't really have to know anything about them to watch Last Call. The exciting thing is when they go under the hammer and they're sold. A lot of times I had a lot of people tell me that sometimes they'll watch the Last Call show and they're with their family, and they'll try to pick who's going to sell for the most. And you know, one friend says, I don't know anything about horses, neither do my kids, but we're learning. And they had a contest to see who whoever would pick the horse that sold for the most. And the one in the family that picked the right horse, they would get like a treat, an ice cream treat, or, you know, a pizza party or something. And so they kind of made a family thing out of it, and they're learning more and more about the horses, you know, as they go. And they first started out with, you know, just picking a number and saying this is maybe what they'd sell for. And now they're getting to be educated a little bit, and they're getting a little more, you know, correct with their guesses that they're making. So that's really good. And that's Last Call, and that's on Chuck at quarter time, and Last Call on Tuesdays on IEN. We go to Wednesday. Wednesday is kind of the middle of the week kind of thing. We'll reflect on and go back on the results from Quest for Equine Gold. It's about the show horse industry and who was showing and where they were showing and who did what and, you know, and all the results that we can on Quest for Equine Gold on Wednesday and where the next show is going to be at, you know, for the following weekend. That's what I like about the middle of the week. It kind of gives us a chance to go back to the past weekend and go forward to the next weekend. And we'll know who's riding and who's winning and who's going to ride and who's going to win. So that's a great show there, Quest for Equine Gold, that has everything to do with the show horse industry. And so that's exciting to see. Now we have on Wednesday also 0 to 10, which again is a part of the show horse industry. And 0 to 10 was named, we named that program 0 to 10 because that's exactly how you score points for dressage competitions. So we try to make a little bit, each show have a little meaning to the name of it. And a 0 to 10 was perfect for this because it's all about dressage. And dressage is a beautiful sport where the horses dance to music. And it's just unbelievable, some of these horses, the things that they do and how they do it. It's very pleasing to the eye, and it's very exciting to watch. You see horses dancing to music, and you just don't know how they do it. But they do it. It's and the thing about dressage is it's an acquired discipline, meaning that it's not like a thoroughbred or a standardbred or a quarter horse. You have to teach the horse how to dance to the music. It's completely out of their, it's a learned discipline, as they say. And so it's going to be interesting to see. And we'll go behind the scenes and see how they're taught from the time they start till the time they get to the ring. So that's a question for the Equine Gold and 0 to 10 on Wednesdays. And then on Thursdays, which is today, we have At the Wire. At the Wire is about the thoroughbred industry, and we go all across the country and all across the world talking about horse racing, thoroughbred horse racing. Like today, for example, on At the Wire, we have Racing Across America, and it's a great program put on by the NYRA people in New York, and we go all across the country from Kingman to Belmont, you name it, you know, they're there. That's America's Racing. Day at the Races is what it's called, America's Day at the Races. And today's opening day at Belmont Park, post times in 5 minutes for race one at Belmont. They've got a good crowd, good weather. So, you know, it's time to, you know, see what they have. Then we'll go to Keeneland and they'll go to Santa Anita, you name it. Where if they're racing in this country, they'll be there. It's America's Day at the Races at the Wire. And At the Wire, we get into pretty good because that's the sport that I came out of and know it inside and out. And we're going to have some good conversations about At the Wire. And then my second love that I have, and I got into it by accident about, it's been 20 years ago, with a guy by the name of Steve Wolf. He was working at Freehold Raceway in New Jersey. And it was a fantastic track, and Freehold had the name Flying Turns because of the turns. They were big sweeping turners, and the horses would fly through it, and that's where they make their moves. And, you know, it got the nickname Flying Turns. And so that's what our standardbred show is named, Flying Turns. We go behind the scenes of the standardbred industry. We go to the sales. We talk to the trainers. We put you in the right position to learn anything that you need to know. We put all kinds of links in there, like to the United States Trotting Association, the USTA, a fantastic website. It educates you. It tells you anything and everything you need to know about the standardbred industry, who's racing where, results. It's a great, great website to go and take a look at, you know, just to get information that they have there. That's the United States Trotting Association, and that's on our program in Flying Turns. So with At the Wire and Flying Turns, and as we have said in all our programming that we do here on IEN, we are a distribution outlet. What we like to do is connect our equestrians to the right links. For example, Chucker, our polo show, we give you a direct link to Chucker TV, and you can click on Chucker TV and watch polo everywhere. Last Call, you can click on to any of the sales, the FASIC Tipton's, the OBS, the Ocala Breeder Sale, the Keeneland Sales, Tattersall's in Europe, Golf in Europe. You click right on, and it takes you right to them. Same thing with Quest for Equine Gold. They have FEI and USEF and all the different associations that go along with the show horse industry. 0 to 10 takes you right directly to the Dressage Federation. At the Wire, oh, man, it's just endless on the ones you can go to. At the Wire, you can go to all your favorite racetracks. You can make one click. You can watch them live. It's just a great avenue to get you there. Same thing with Flying Turns and USTA to do that. And that's what we're about here at IEN. Well, we're a program or a website that is goal is to get distribution of all and every equine country in the world. All the associations, all the shows, all the racing, movies, you name it, we have it. And you'll just be one click away. We're like it will be like the yellow pages for the horse industry. Our goal is to become the largest distribution outlet for connecting you, the equestrian or the non-equestrian, to anything equine. You know, that's one of our goals that we're trying to do here. And so that's our Monday through Thursday show. And Friday we have a weekly review, and we have a preview. We go back over what's all's gone on during the week and all of our programming, and then we have a preview of what's coming up that weekend and all next week. So that's our Friday show, and we also have the International Equine Report, to where we'll get into more things like the economic impact of the horse industry on a state-by-state, country-by-country level. We get into veterinarian programming and International Equine Report, feed companies, transportation companies. We try to highlight something different every weekend on Friday in the International Equine Report to let you know what's going on in something other than the competitive edge of the industry, more of how they do what they do. And then Saturdays and Sundays are always live for us. We'll always be live on our IENTV.org. You'll be able to come in and see a lot of different things live, you know, that we're doing and go from there. And for example, like live programming that we have on this week, if you go to IENTV.org every morning at 7 o'clock up through until the Kentucky Derby, we have what they call the Morning Works. It's about all the horses that are running in the Kentucky Derby and the Kentucky Oaks, and it's a live program, live from Churchill Downs, and it shows all the horses that are working and getting prepared for the Kentucky Derby on May the 7th. So that's what we're trying to do there, is get you in contact with where it's at and what's going on. So that's our live shows on every morning, 7 o'clock. It's called the Morning Works, live from Churchill Downs. It'll be on our site. Just go on there, click on to it, open up the link, and you can watch it live and see the interviews and help you get a Derby pick for this year's Kentucky Derby. But that's on our Saturday and Sunday programs that we have. And we'll have other things on there that go along with our other things that'll be live on Saturday and Sundays. One of the things that we'll have live this week on our programming is the provincial schedule for the Land Rover Kentucky 3-day eventing competition in Lexington, Kentucky at the Horse Park. It's a fantastic an event. They get hundreds of thousands of people that go to it. One of the things that when you go to it, and I suggest that you go take the family and spend a couple of days there. And when you go there, you go to the information booth, and they tell you exactly about ticket pricing and what's available. They tell you where it's at and how, and you know, a little bit about it. You get a good program there. And when you get that program, you can also pay a small fee and get a headset like they do for NASCAR. And you put the headset on, turn it on, and you literally can walk through the park. And whenever you're walking through the park, it'll tell you, you know, that you're at the cross country course. You know, the cross country person on the course now is Ian Millar. And they tell you the name of the horse and where he's at. And it's great because you can never get lost with those headsets. You're always there, and they tell you where you're at. And as you walk through the sites, it'll tell you you're in the Grand Prix ring. You know that you might be in there, and you have, you know, John Wilson is in the, you know, Grand Prix arena. And so, you know, they have that there for you to do. There's just so much there that they can do for you, you know, and that's when you come in and you go to the information booth and they tell you, you know, that's what's going on, you know, with it. But the Land Rover 3-day event, it started yesterday, and at 1 p.m. they had the cross-country course is open to the public. And you can go out there and take a look at it and see what all is going on. And you can see, get all the information, and it's a great thing. Then that's at 1 p.m. on yesterday. And then they had the first horse inspection at 3 p.m. And then the competitor familiarization of the competitor arena at the Rolex Stadium was there, and that was from 3:30 to 6. Today, the gates opened at 7 a.m. At 7:15, the hospitality tents opened where you could check on all the tickets and get all the information that you need to know. And then at 7:30 a.m., they had the dressage test ride in the Rolex Stadium. And then at 8 a.m., they had the dressage test begins in the Rolex Stadium. And then at 8 a.m., the sponsor village, the Hill, and the trade fair open up at 8 o'clock in the morning. So that's a real good, heavy day, and that was only just a part of it opening up. At 12:30, they had another test ride in the dressage in the Rolex Stadium for dressage. 1 p.m. to 5:30 p.m., they had dressage test that started at the Rolex Stadium. 5:45 to 7:30, they had arena familiarization in the Rolex Stadium. And then 6:30 to 9, they had a charity event at the Horse Park Big Barn that they do to drive for different things, that are worthy of assistance from the horse industry. Tomorrow morning, same thing again, 7 a.m., the gates open, hospitality tents open at 7:30 a.m., the sponsor village, they open at 8 o'clock, they start the dressage test, and then at 11 a.m., they have the Kentucky Invitational Jog. Then they have 12:30 dressage test again. Then noon they have Champions Live at the Walnut Ring. Then 1:30 they have at the Walnut Ring they have demonstrations and exhibitions. At 1:30 they have a pair of show jumping at the Walnut Ring. They have at 2:30 the retired racehorse project at the Walnut Ring. 6 p.m. they have the Grand Prix hospitality tents open. 7 p.m. the Kentucky Invitational, the $37,000 event, welcomes the Speed Cup. It's a Rolex Stadium, so that's at 7 p.m. So it's an exciting day, Thursday, today, and tomorrow. And then Saturday, they really amp things up. Again, everything starts basically at 7 a.m. They have the hospitality tents get open. Then they have the cross-country test, sponsors Village, the Hill, and Trade Fair open, and all the vendors open up then. That's at 7:30 a.m. also. At noon, the Invitational, the course walk at the Rolex Stadium. They have the cross-country test followed at 12:50, 2:30, demonstrations and exhibitions. Pretty much the same thing as the Friday show. And so that's, that's interesting to see because it educates you. You get to see all these different things that come up. And then on May 1st, which is Sunday, they have gates open at 7 a.m. 7:15, they have non-denominational worship service at the pavilion between the Stoneleigh and Claiborne rings. That is really a great way to start your day off. They cover all different religions and it's an equestrian church that has to be attended to. It should be attended to and seen. It's just great what they do there. And they have 9:30, they have the jumping course opens, and then they have the open ceremony and presentation of official flags at the Rolex Stadium. The jumping test starts at the Rolex Stadium at 11. It goes right on up to 3:30. They drag the course, and then the second group, it starts at 3:45. And then at 4:45, they have the presentations at the awards in the Rolex Stadium. And so it's kind of a great week, to go there because it takes you around to everything that you want to see, everything you want to do there at Rolex, the three-day Rolex. It's three or four days of just excitement. You get up close and see the people, see the horses, and you get real close to them. And it's really a great thing to go see. especially when you get there to see the Rolex classes. On Saturday, the Grand Prix is a $225,000 an event. It's a lot of money, and a lot of good people from all over the world will be there to see to participate in the 3-day event. They got a hospitality tent that has just a little bit of everything. It's a ringside tent overlooking the arena. They have all size tables from two people to eight to single positions there. You'll find all that out when you get there at the hospitality tent. So that's at the Kentucky Horse Park this weekend. Then to move on to North Carolina, we have Tryon has their a show that's just, who had ever thought you'd see this at a horse event. It's a Tryon Resort in Tryon, North Carolina. It's April 30th. It's the second annual Carolina Motor Show presented by Staley's Detailing. And you'll see any and every kind of car there, automobile there. They got cars, trucks, motorcycles. They got food. They got fun for the family, for the kids of all ages. A massive car show on April the 30th, and it's free. It's free to attend. And that's what we keep trying to tell you here. And if you get involved in the equine business, there's a lot of things you can go see. You can go see, the sales free. You can go see polo free. There's just so many things you can go see that are free. It's just, incredible and a good way for the family and everybody to get together, there. But at the car show, it's 9 a.m. to noon. They have restaurants, shopping, and more all day long. The boutiques, they have their local crafts, fine art. The promenade at Tryon Resort features fashion must-have, delicious treats, equestrian vendors, and many boutiques that have any and everything that you can think of other than equestrian things. No telling what you'll find there. The main concourse there, from dinner to organic and local favorites, Italian cuisine, grab-and-go meals, and more. Grab sushi to go and enjoy one of the many picnic tables and umbrellas that they have located on the property. It's just something to see. It's something to see. Grab you a milkshake and go see the cars and just enjoy it with the family. Those are the kind of things that you can do at some of these equestrian events. Now that we're starting, the 10 days of Derby, we're going to start talking about Derby's items here. One of the things that I suggest that you can do, and you can go year-round to it, it kind of gives you the insight of what the Kentucky Derby is about and what it has been and what it's going to be. It's just a great place to go. It's the Kentucky Derby Museum located at Churchill Downs. This place is just, it's just amazing, the things that they can do and the technology that they have. The Twin Spires, for example, will tell you about that. The Garland and Roses will tell you about the Mint Julep. The fashion and the horses. Many people know and love the Kentucky Derby, but how did it become the beloved and the world-renowned race that it is today? Kentucky Derby Museum answers that question in the newest permanent exhibit. This is the Kentucky Derby presented by Kroger, now open to the public. And see, that just goes to show you about the horse business. Kroger, a grocery store, they're all over the country, and they come to sponsor it because they believe that education of the people is a fantastic thing to do. For the horse business, and they help a lot of the horse industry by sponsoring, from Kroger's. The exhibit takes guests through five main facts of the Kentucky Derby history. History, culture, spectacle, economic impact, and tradition. And again, You know, we can't emphasize enough to our listeners and to the people that are involved in the business, the economic impact that the horse business has to a local community, no matter what sport it is, whether it's horse racing, show horses, sales, you know, backyard pony shows. The economic impact that it brings to the community is just unbelievable because the horsemen that come in, they're the ones that are rent and buy houses, apartments. They go to the Krogers. They go to the Walmarts. They get gas. They go to the hospital. They go to the school. You know, you name it. They literally touch every aspect of your community in an economic positive tradition. So it's just unbelievable. In the museum, they have artifacts, pictures, touch screens, that this exhibit will answer questions, including. And what I like about the touch screen there is you can go and just literally, they answer any and every question that you might have. For example, who started the Kentucky Derby and why? How did the Kentucky Derby become a media sensation? How many millions of dollars flow through the city and the state due to the Kentucky Derby? From the mint julep to the solid gold trophy, to the Twin Spires and the Garland of Roses. How did these traditions become icons of the Kentucky Derby? Well, I can tell you one thing about the Garland of Roses that they put across the winner of the Kentucky Derby. You go over to Kroger's, that's where they make it. They make it there in Louisville. The Garland of Roses is made at Kroger's grocery store in Louisville, Kentucky. It's all handmade. And they start a few days before the Derby. They start making it, and the public can literally go to Kroger's and watch them making the, you know, the Garland of Roses. And that's one of the things that, you know, you learn there at the museum. That's just really a great thing to see. You can go over and you can see the Kentucky Derby trophy. You can see who won all the Kentucky Derbies in the past. It's just unbelievable. The visual focal points of the exhibit include a replica of the Twin Spires that's been suspended from the ceiling, designed off the original blueprints of the famed Twin Spires. They are completed with a working light and can change colors just as they do in the real Twin Spires. The Covenant Garland of Roses hangs from the ceiling, bursting into petals and that spray over the exhibit to give the guests a new way to see the prize blanket. The museum curators work closely with Kroger's to master floral designs to create a replica. A video monitor within the exhibit shows the floral designers handcrafting the authentic 40-pound masterpiece each year. 40 pounds for that garland of roses. It's just unbelievable to go take a look at. Thousands of people from all over the globe visit the Kentucky Derby Museum each year. Many of them ask our tour guides, what makes the Kentucky Derby what it is? It's a complex question because there's no single answer for it. This is the Kentucky Derby gives visitors the space and time to explore how to run. The Run for the Roses became the greatest horse race in the world, says Patrick Armstrong, president and CEO of the museum. And so basically what we're saying is that when you go into the Kentucky Derby Museum, they'll answer any and all questions that you have regarding, you know, the Kentucky Derby and horse racing. But the thing that I like about it is that at the end of your question and answer sessions with the people in the museum, the final answer is what made the Kentucky Derby so great is up to you. It can mean a lot of things to many different people. You know, maybe you attended the Derby one time and then you've watched it on TV ever since. Maybe that's what makes you believe that it's the greatest race of all times. Maybe you went as a kid and got involved in the business and you look forward to that every year. But the final answer to the question is that it's up to each individual that, you know, that goes to the Kentucky Derby Museum. You know, it's just really unbelievable to see something like that. You know, I just think it's a great place to go. You'll enjoy it, and so will all the family, you know, to go to the Kentucky Derby Museum. And that's open year-round. That's one of the things that you can remember. It's open year-round. Go see it, the Kentucky Derby. We got the Kentucky Derby Festival, which is approximately 10 days long. It's just something that's just really good to go see. It's all across the city of Louisville. They have the Pegasus Parade is on Sunday, May the 1st. It's down on West Broadway and Campbell Street there in Louisville. It's like the Tournament of Roses Parade. It's a good one. It starts at 3 p.m. In downtown Louisville, West Broadway, Campbell Street. There they have the Kentucky Derby Steamboat Race, which is May 2nd. It's the Belle of Louisville. It starts at 11 a.m. And they usually go against the Delta Queen from Cincinnati, Ohio. They're two historic paddle wheel boats, and they race up the Ohio River north. And then they turn around and they come back and they finish under the I-65 bridge that goes over into Indiana there in downtown Louisville. It starts at 11 a.m. on Monday, May 2nd. Kentucky Proud Derby Festival Wine Fest. Everybody likes this. Everybody likes this one. It starts on Tuesday, May the 3rd, and it starts at 5 p.m. And what I like about it, you got the wine festival, the wine, you know, tasting in the wine festival, and it's at Slugger Field. What a name for a wine festival at Slugger Field. It's where the Louisville Bats baseball team plays their games at. So that's really good. They have the waterfront VIP viewing, Kentucky Festival sponsored by Kroger's. It's really great section there. That starts at 8 p.m. at the waterfront down on Louisville, in Louisville there. They have the, like I said, they got the finals of the steamboat race on May the 4th. That's the Belle of Louisville. That would be at the start at 4:30 p.m. They have Day at the Downs, Kentucky, sponsored by the Kentucky and Honda dealers. That's 11:30 a.m., which is really, you know, a good time to go see Churchill. It's just a great thing to see. You name it, they got it there. They have Thunder Over Louisville, which is one of the largest fireworks shows in the world that you can go see. It's really something to see in itself. They got everything. It's Derby Week. It's 10 days of festival. There's just so many things there that I can't even begin to tell you, you know, what it is. And then now we're going to get directly right into the Kentucky Derby. On Sunday and Monday, May 1st, at 6:30 a.m. to 8:30 a.m., we have Dawn at the Downs. And you can go out and you can watch the Kentucky Oaks and the Kentucky Derby contenders do their morning workouts. Dawn at the Downs, I like it. It's a popular tradition for both Louisvillians and visitors, giving the Kentucky Derby fans the opportunity to see contenders train for the big race while listening to expert commentary. Listen as the horses are announced on the track and evaluated on their workouts, discussion on their past performance, and provide insight to the Kentucky Derby and Kentucky Oaks races. That's really a great thing to go see, what they have there. You know, you're out there. It's certainly crowded, but, you know, you're right up next to it. Some of the lead ponies and some of the outriders will bring their horses up there. The kids can pet them. You can get up close and personal and have your picture, do a selfie with them. They're really great. But this is my favorite part of it, and which it always will be. This is what makes Derby for me. It's Dawn at the Downs, and they got a great breakfast. They got scrambled eggs, farm fresh eggs, smoked bacon, country sausage patties, hash browns, casserole, buttermilk biscuits. For the sweet tooth, they've got fruit salad. They got an individual pastries and Belgian waffles. And then naturally they've got the coffee and iced tea and water and that, you know, that type of thing. But that's a Dawn at the Downs. And that's something that you need to go out and see. You know, it's something good for the family. You can walk around Churchill and see the Twin Spires and see the horses out on the track and talk to the people that actually work with the horses. And so that's what, you know, which is really good. When you do that and you get finished with that, then you can go over to the Kentucky Derby Museum and take a tour through it and make a whole day of it. So, you know, that's really something that's going to be good. One of the things that I've over the years have educated myself on is the Road to the Kentucky Derby, and we've got a program called How They Get There, and that's on our website. It takes you through the stages of how horses get to the Kentucky Derby on intv.org. It's how they get there. Just click onto it, and it'll tell you about the farm and the owners. You click on to about the trainers, Todd Pletcher, that we've highlighted there, feed, everything, you name it. And then all those things get the horse to the Kentucky Derby, you know. But one of the things that I found out over the years, as I like to do, is they've got a point system to get a horse into the Kentucky Derby. And to get that horse in the Kentucky Derby, you got to run a series of 31 different races that they have. That accumulate points, and once you accumulate enough points, then you qualify for the Kentucky Derby. And so this year, the bottom line on getting a horse into the Kentucky Derby was 40. It's 40 points. That's where you know, if you got 40 points, you're almost assured a spot in the Derby. And so I kind of look at that and. And this year, like Epicenter is the horse that's at the top of the list, and he ended up with 164 points, which is telling you that he ran in quite a few big races and won quite a few big races in order to get those 164 points. So the trainer, Steve Asmussen, he's not shy about running horses in big races, and he doesn't run them unless he thinks he can win them. And evidently, you know, the plan that he had for Epicenter was good. Epicenter had 164 points, non-restricted stakes earnings of $940,000, and then total career earnings of $1,010,000. Sorry about that. And so that's what he did with Epicenter. And then you come down, there's Zandon for Chad Brown. He's got 114 points, total earnings of $713,000. White Abario has got 112 points, $823,000. Now, White Abario, he struggled in some of his races that he ran in. It was tough on him. He had a rough go. Modonigo for Todd Pletcher, 112 points with a $621,000 in total earnings. And this horse is an unusual horse. He's very lightly raced, but every time that he's ran, he's proven that he's quality, and he's always took a step forward. But like I said, he's lightly raced, and he's always taken a step forward. And that's something you don't see in the top four, five horses done other than Modonigo taking that step forward. We have Tez de Bomb. He's got 110 points. He's got $1,044,000 in total earnings, trained by Kenny McPeak. He's a nice horse, but he ran a lot to get his points, you know, started there. And then as you go down through the list of the top 20 horses, you can just kind of see, you know, where they went. Some of them are kind of questionable, you know. They got into a race that had Derby points, and was he the best of a bunch of bad horses? Yes, he was. And that's how they got their points. And I'm not going to identify any of those horses, but I'm just saying. You know, the trainers picked the right spots, did get a stakes win with them, made money for the owners. But as far as the Derby's concerned, you know, it's going to prove a little different there with them. So we were really interested in seeing, you know, what happened, you know, with a lot of these horses. One of the horses that that I think that is really going to show up at the races. And I'm telling you, this horse is just really something different right now. He's got 100 points. He comes out of Japan. He's got $734,000 in total career earnings. Is Crown Pride. Crown Pride is, I tell you, he's unique. He is getting close to what the Japanese have been trying to do for quite a few years now. And that's get a horse into the Kentucky Derby, not only in it, but now to win it. And so, I was kind of excited about seeing this horse, come in and, see what he's going to do. They had him out there at Churchill the other day. They took him to the gate for schooling. Every day he's been going over to the gate, going to the paddock. Now, they do go to the gate in Japan, but it's a little different. Here in the United States, whenever a horse breaks from a gate, there's a bell that goes off. And they don't have that in Japan. And so that kind of threw him. The first day he went to the gate over there, he breaks out of the gate and he made a sharp left-hand turn over to the rail. And so, you know, it was all new to him, but he's gotten better since then and they're schooling him every day. But, you know, if he were in the gate and he were out in the 10 hole or, you know, somewhere out, you know, five or out and he makes a sharp right left-hand turn, he going down to the rail, he's going to take a lot of horses out with him. So, it's going to be interesting to see how he is affected by this 20-horse field. And like I was saying before, all the horses, you know, earn their points to get there. They're races that are good races to qualify you to get there. Some of them made it with very few points to get into the Derby. Others made it with a lot of points to get into the Derby. But the whole long and short of it is all that's behind you. That's all behind you. The first Saturday in May, when you go in there, every horse has got a shot in making it, winning the Derby. The most important thing that these horses have done to date is get into the Kentucky Derby. The next most important thing they're going to have to do is negotiate the break from the gate in the Derby. You're looking at a 20-horse field. Some might break slow. Some might break, and come out of the gate, go one way or the other. They might come out fast. They might come out slow. With the adrenaline pumping, you might have a horse that gets excited. He comes out of the gate. He flies down the stretch the first time. And, he just runs his race, you know, and at the 3/8 pole, you know, he's done. That could happen. He could get behind a wall of horses. There's so many things that can happen coming down that stretch going into that first turn. There's so many ways to ride your horse. A lot of times jockeys will take a horse back, see how the field fans out, as they call it, and just, you know, kind of pick them off one at a time. But you got to have a tremendous horse to do that. You got to have a horse that's very athletic. You got to have a horse that's really smart. You got to have a jockey that can sense pace. There's just so many things that can happen when they break out of that gate. You just never can tell, you know, what's going to happen, who's going to take the lead, if there's going to be pace in the race, if you get that speed up front, if there's a slow pace, that can cause a lot of problems for, horses back in the back. There's just so many things that can happen when they get into that gate. And you know, going to the gate, you know, you're looking at 150,000 people there at Churchill, and you're looking at a lot of noise. You're looking at, you know, the pomp and circumstances, the playing in my old Kentucky home, the crowded paddock, which these horses have never seen before. There's just so many things there that can get the horse wound up. You know, you just don't know. And when you come out of that tunnel, and believe you me, I've been out of that tunnel, and when they start playing my old Kentucky home and that crowd roars, if you're in the tunnel, you know, that can really shake your horse up because he doesn't know what he's walking to. If you haven't gone into the tunnel, that can shake your horse up because, you know, he doesn't know what he's going into. And if you're out on the track, you got the crowd screaming and hollering and the band playing. And, you know, it's just really tough. It's tough when you get ready to go to that gate. And so, you know, that's going to be tough. And that's my pick of, you know, how I make my picks. I go through and kind of evaluate where they've been and what they've done and, you know, who the trainers are and how much schooling they got, you know, how much the horse has traveled. I take all those things into consideration is what I do. And so, you know, right now, I'm telling you, it could be any one of them. The way I look at it now, if I was going to bet on the race, I'd go bet $2 on each one of them. And chances are that $2 that you bet on the winner, in which you'd be guaranteed a winner of the 20, is going to pay more than $20 this year. I just think it's just wide open thing that they have, you know, with them here. So what I'd like to do is invite everybody to intv.org on Monday. They're going to have the Kentucky Derby draw. It's a spectacle to behold, and 2022 will be no different. Here's everything you need to know about the post position draw, including start time and how to watch it live online. Just take it a little bit out, and on Monday, you come to intv.org, and you can come and see exactly what all is going on. It'll be Monday afternoon at 2:00. You come out here. You'll see the Derby draw begins at 2:00 on the IEN. Monday, May 2nd, the draw should take approximately 1 hour. It will also feature the Kentucky Oaks post position draw for this coming Friday. The ceremony is held at Churchill Downs. It's a sight to behold. It's exciting. There'll be interview with trainers and jockeys and owners and everything. The draw is one of the most eagerly anticipated post-position draws in horse racing. The draw takes place at Churchill Downs and features all 20 horses competing in the race. One official draw, the name of the horse, while another reveals the post-position from which said horse will run. This is done 20 times over and over until the entire draw is completed. It'll take about 15 minutes to get everybody, you know, up there together. And it has the same thing for the Kentucky Oaks that they'll be doing. And that's at 2:00 on multiple outlets. But if you come to intv.org, you'll see it live like you would on any other place. So you'll see all the different things that'll be available there. And just kind of go from there and see what happens. But, you know, the thing that I like the most about the draw is it takes away all the speculation. Everybody right now, they got the reason, oh, this horse is good, that horse is good, this horse is too light, this one's too slow. Well, the Kentucky Derby draw puts it all into perspective. What it does is it just starts defining what horse could win the Derby. If you get an outside post, you might not, you know, you might just say, you know, my horse can't get there. If you get an inside post and get crowded at the beginning, there's just so many scenarios. Each post position has its own scenario. Each post position has his jockey's mind, what he's going to do and how he's going to race. What if he goes out too fast? What if he comes out too slow? What if he breaks and goes right or left? What if he gets bumped? There's just so many things that, from that post position that you draw that can happen. And you got to kind of play those things over in your mind and kind of get ready for it. And Monday gives you a whole 6 days to decide what you're going to do and how you're going to do it as a jockey, as an owner, and as a trainer. And when it gets down to it, the final determination who wins the Derby is your horse. The first time coming down the stretch, that's your horse running. The second time coming down, it's the sire, it's the dam, and it's all the preparation that went into the race. That's what happens in the Kentucky Derby when they come out of the gate. So join us next week for the International Equine Report. Certainly go to our website. Join us every day on our website for Dawn at the Downs and the Morning Works on our programming. It starts at 7 a.m. on our website, and you can see what's going on in the Derby and what they're doing and how they're doing it. So this is Scott Miller inviting you to continue the journey with us on the way to learning as much as you can about the equine industry via our nice website that connects you with one click to any equestrian event in the world. We'll see you next Thursday at 1 o'clock on BBS Radio.